بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى وسلم على سيدنا محمد صاحب مقام مخصوص بشرف إنا من نولاه ما كنا ومنا وشيخنا ينفاس بحسن معنا وليس وسلم. We turn الحمد لله to قوت القلوب. We're still on the section of zuhud, on the section of abstinence and non-attachment to the dunya. We ended last roha yesterday talking about some of the meanings of haya, of shame in front of Allah. And the haya is connected to zuhud, connected to abstinence in the dunya. That's why Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, istahyu min Allahi haqqa al-haya. Prophet said to the Sahaba, have true shame in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he explained it by saying, in another narration he explained by saying, what's the meaning of this? He explained it in terms of zuhud, in terms of abstinence. He explained haya in terms of zuhud. He explained shame in front of Allah in terms of zuhud. He said, what does this mean? It means to... he said that these people, they build buildings which they don't live in. They gather food which they don't eat. So this is someone that hasn't attained zuhud. Then a delegation to the Prophet came to the Prophet ﷺ and they said, he said, who are you? Or what are you? He said, we are believers, mu'minun. He said, okay, what's the sign of your iman? What's the truth, the sign that you people have truly a belief? They said, we have patience in the face of adversity. We have gratitude in times of ease. And we are content with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we don't show gladness when our enemies suffer misfortune. He said, the Prophet says, if this is true, then don't gather food which you don't eat, don't build buildings in which you don't live, and do not don't compete over that which you're going to leave behind, in other words, the dunya. Don't compete over the dunya. So this is zuhud. This is the definition of zuhud from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not to gather food which you don't eat, not to build buildings which you aren't going to live in, and not to compete over that which you're going to leave behind, meaning the dunya. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did a khutbah, spoke to the Sahaba, and he said, the one who comes with la ilaha illallah without mixing it with anything, in other words, it's pure for the sake of Allah, he wajabat lahu al-jannah, jannah is guaranteed for him. And Sayyidina Ali stood up and said, by my father and mother, Ya Rasulullah, in other words, my father and mother be ransomed for you, O Messenger of Allah. Who ma la yakhlut fi biha ghayraha. The one, describe the one for us who doesn't mix anything with La ilaha illallah. In other words, one who has, who's sincere in saying La ilaha illallah, completely sincere in saying La ilaha illallah. Says that the one who mixes something with La ilaha is the one who loves the dunya and seeks it, loves this world and seeks it and goes after it. People who say what they say, they say the things, the sayings of the prophets, but they do the actions of the tyrants. But the one who comes with La ilaha the one who brings La ilaha on Yawm al-Qiyam without any of these things, without mixing with anything, without having any desire for the dunya, Jannah is guaranteed for him. That's why Sayyidina Ali regarded zuhud as a station of sabr. Zuhud as a station, if you like, of sabr. Station of patience. And when we were talking about sabr, that he talked about the pillars of sabr. So he made sabr a pillar of iman. That's what we mentioned this hadith before. He said that iman is built on four pillars: sabr, patience, yaqeen, certainty, justice, adl, and jihad, struggle. These are the four pillars of iman, the four foundations of Iman. And then he said, Sabr has four branches. Shawq, which is longing. Shafaq, which is fear. Zahada, which is abstinence, what we're talking about here. And Taraqqub, being vigilant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the one who longs for Jannah, he leaves behind his desires. And the one who's fearful of the fire, turns away from prohibited things. And the one who has abstinence in the dunya, tribulations become easy for him to bear. And the one who's vigilant of death, is quick to do good actions. That's how he explained it, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Also said that sabr, the relationship of sabr to iman is like the relationship between the head and the body. If the body is iman, then the head is sabr. So you can have you can't have life without the head and the body together. You can't have life without, you can't have iman without sabr. He said, "As-sakha min al-yaqeen." He said that generosity is one of the elements of certainty. And the one who's certain, the one who has yaqeen, will not enter the fire. Bukhl, miserliness, or avarice is from doubt. It's from weak iman, from having doubt in one's iman. وَلَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مَنْ شَكَّ. The one who has doubt will not enter Jannah. The one who has weak faith will not enter paradise. And this explains the narration, the hadith, that the sakhi, the generous one, is close to Allah, close to the people, close to paradise, and far from the fire. Whereas the bakhil, the miserly one, is far from Allah, far from the people, close to the fire, and close to the fire. This is because the sakha, generosity is from yaqeen. Generosity is one of the branches of yaqeen, of certainty. Why is the bakhil, why is the mazli one far from Allah? Because his doubt, because he has weak faith and he has doubt in his faith. Allah Sayyidi Habi Umar inshaAllah Nafa'ana Allah. Nafa'ana Allah bihi, will explain on some of what's been said. Allah iftah alayna wa fatuha al-alafin. Ya Sayyidi. الحمد لله. The one who extended the ropes to us through which we can approach him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he showed us the path through the clear light, so the path became clear and became easy for the ones who pay attention. Allah is the one that ennobled us by creating us and legislated for us to seek good character, and in that is the good of both worlds and safety from the evil of both worlds. He ennobled us by giving us a teacher who reached the highest ranks of teaching and clarification. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. He's a guider to the straight path of Allah. He's one that Allah addressed. That you truly guide to a straight path, the path of Allah, to which belongs the heavens and the, to whom belong the heavens and the earth. All affairs return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anyone who follows this path attains a portion of this enlightenment. And the people of Allah, they traveled to him with everything and left nothing behind for themselves. So Allah was there for them, giving them everything, forgiving them from everything they did. And he doesn't ask, doesn't take them to account for anything, and doesn't punish them for anything they do, because they left behind everything for his sake. Their lives and their deaths was purely for him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's only appropriate that they say that my prayer and my worship and everything is, and my life and my death is for you. And there's no, you have no partner. And this is what I've been ordered to, and I wanted the believer, the Muslims, the ones who have submitted. So Allah send blessings upon their teacher, our Master Muhammad, and upon his companions and his family, and those who are close to him, and those who follow his path, and make us amongst them and with them, through your mercy, O most merciful. Proceed. The Shaykh continues to talk on the topic of zuhd, of abstinence, emphasizing that it's one of the best means of attaining, of arriving at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through this, the souls which are asleep, those which are heedless, they wake up, they become aware. So they find guidance and they find. He goes back to. First, back to the hadith which was mentioned yesterday about Sayyidina Haritha, when he said, what is the reality of your iman? Because Haritha said, the dunya has become nothing in my sight. Gold and mud and earth, they're the same in my sight. And just one tasbih, one subhanAllah from someone like this is greater than the actions of years of other people who haven't reached the station. Because he's attained true slavehood to Allah and removed from his. And he's reached the station with Allah, subhanAllah, the high station with Allah. He's attained the love of Allah and the contentment of Allah. So Allah hasn't looked at this worldly life since He created it, and it's the same in the sight of Haritha. So he's close to Allah for that reason. The dunya isn't worth the wing of a gnat in the sight of Allah, and it's likewise in the sight of this person. So he's close to Allah. As for the second hadith. The Prophet said that when light enters someone's heart, it becomes the sign of this is someone that distances themselves from this abode of illusion. This is a sign of the end, that light has entered the heart, that someone distances themselves from the abode of illusion and longs to return to the abode of eternity and prepares for death before it arrives. Then he mentioned the third hadith, which explains the haya, explains the concept of having shame in front of Allah. And how can someone meet Allah who doesn't have shame in front of Allah? Said, how can you have shame in front of Allah if you build buildings which you're not going to live in, and you eat, you gather food which you're not going to eat, more food than you can eat. And then this mentioned once again the delegation. They said the sign of their iman is that they have sabr, they have gratitude, they have patience and gratitude, and they have contentment, and they don't rejoice with the when misfortune befall their enemies. This is the shamata, where this is something which is. This is something blameworthy in the Sharia, to rejoice at one another's misfortune, even if they're your enemies. We heard that slave said when that slave said that he lost the dunya and the akhirah. He said to someone who's disobeying Allah, he said, may Allah not forgive you. He said, Allah revealed to the Prophet of that time, he said, who's this person who thinks he's a god next to me? How can he dare to say something like this? May Allah not forgive him. So Allah forgave the one who disobeyed him and punished the one who said this statement. Sayyidina Ibn Abbas said, he said a statement that... through which he lost the dunya and the akhirah. Allah, Allah, Ya Latif. So we have to have adab with Allah, have to have adab with Allah. And made zuhud a condition for one's tawheed being sincere. In the hadith we just mentioned, that the one who says la ilaha illallah sincerely will be guaranteed Jannah. And Sayyidina Ali asked about the meaning of the sincerity, and he said it's that person doesn't seek the dunya, doesn't go after the dunya. So zuhud, is it zuhud here as a foundation or as a key or a condition for attaining the ikhlas of this tawheed? People that and we mention once again the statement of Sayyidina Ali. The iman is based on four foundations: sabr and certainty and justice and jihad. And then he explained the four branches of sabr, which we mentioned before: longing and fear and abstinence and vigilance of death, awareness of death. So the one who longs for paradise leaves behind his desires, because what is waiting for him is sweeter and greater. So how would he feel regret about things he lost in this dunya when what is waiting for him is sweeter and greater? Like young children, they boast about their toys. This is how the arifin, the knowers of Allah, see people of the dunya. They see them like little children boasting over their toys and balls and things like that. Children, they say, oh, such and such a country has this, and this is the arifun, the knowers of Allah, look at these people and say these are like little children. Was it waiting for something in paradise which the eye hasn't seen, the ear hasn't heard, and the heart can't imagine? So when you're waiting for this in the next life, what regret do you have about missing out on something in this life? Sayyidina Umayyah ibn Hammam, even he had a handful of dates, and he was just about to go into battle. He said paradise is too close. The Prophet said, you're one of the people of Jannah. And the Prophet said, if I live long enough to eat these dates, then my life has been long. So he threw the dates over behind his back and then entered Badr and met his Lord. He's one of the 14 who were martyred on the day of Badr, radiallahu anhu. Inshallah, we'll mention him in Ramadan when we remember Badr. But the Ramadan came in the first year, in the intense heat, like the days that we're experiencing now. The second year of the Hijrah, Ramadan was made compulsory in a year in conditions similar to these. It was Ramadan the way that when they went to Badr radiallahu anhum. One who fears the fire leaves behind prohibited things, and the one who has non-attachment to the dunya, tribulations have become easy for him to bear. And the one who is aware of death rushes to do good works. Sabr, the relationship of sabr to iman is like the relationship of the head to the body. So the one who has no sabr has no iman. The one who has no patience has no faith. The angels descend and enter from every side and every door, and they're saying salamu alaykum, peace be upon you, bima sabartum, because of the patience you had in this life. They didn't say what you learned, what you did, what this. They said what you had patience over. Without sabr, nothing is of any benefit. No act of worship, no fasting, no prayer. There's no patience. Your actions become ruined. But if you have patience, they're safe. So someone's miserliness is according to their doubt, the weakness of their faith. The more doubt you have, the more miserly you are. The one who has incomplete certainty, he's someone that spends generously. Because if you're miserly, you have doubt in the promise of Allah. You have doubt that Allah will replace what you spend. Allah will reward you for what you spend. So bukhl is from doubt. Miserliness is from doubt. That's the meaning of this hadith, that the generous one is close to Allah, close to paradise, far from the fire. Whereas the miserly one is far from Allah, far from the people, close to the fire. The Muslim one is distant from Allah because of his doubt and his weak faith. So sakha, generosity is one of the greatest manifestations of generosity. Because such a person is and it's not possible that the bakhil, the mazi one, be abstinent, be zahid. Greater reward is being generous with what your self desires than being generous with wealth. Someone can be generous, give their wealth generously, but they don't do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's 100 households in Medina that were their food came regularly. They didn't know who was feeding them, who was bringing food to them, until Sayyidina Zain Ali Zain al-Abidin passed away. When he died, they realized it was him that was bringing them the food, bringing them their provisions. It came, was brought in the night, and they didn't know who it was that brought it. But it was enough for them. One of his servants would help him to carry load the food onto his back. And the servant said, let me carry it. He said, no, are you going to carry my sins on Yawm al-Qiyamah? So he went out and carried the food himself on his back. So when he died, these 100 or even 200 households, according to one narration, they realized that who was coming, and their food stopped coming. The man that came, and there was a black mark on his back from all the food that he would carry at night. That wasn't all that he did at night. He also prayed 1,000 rak'ahs every night. So he read the Quran and take care of his family, praise the Azad and Rakas, take the food out. And there's two black lines from tears on his face, from fear of Allah. These people, they inherited the realities of sabr, the realities of taqwa, the realities of khushu. Allah be pleased with them and make us amongst them with them, inshallah. A stranger once came to Medina, and he had 1,000 dinars or dirhams in a purse, and he left it in the house where he was staying. Then he went to the masjid, and he thought he'd left the money in the masjid. So when he came back to the masjid after leaving it, and the only person he found in the masjid was Sayyid Ali Zain al-Abidin. So immediately he thought that Ali Zain al-Abidin had took the money and hidden it, and he was staying in the masjid so he could leave without anyone seeing him. Don't lengthen your prayer, because you. So he did that. Said, I shortened his prayer. And he said, what's wrong? He said, there was a wallet containing 1,000 dirhams. I've left it in the masjid. And you're the one that's taken it. Ali said, don't expose us, conceal us. We'll give it to you. Don't expose us. So he took him back to his house, gave him 1,000 dirhams in rupee. So he took the money, went back to his house, and then realized he'd left the money in his house, back in his house. So who was that person? He said that I called him a liar, and I took money from him. Who's this man, subhanAllah? He said, who's it? He went back to the house, and he said, he asked, who's the house of this? Who's this house? And he said, it's Ali Zain al-Abidin. Could I not find anyone else to wrong other than him from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So he cried and apologized to Sayyidina Ali Zain al-Abidin. He said, I forgave you from the beginning. So he said, take back your money. He said, no, we've given it for the sake of Allah, take it. Allah bless you in it, inshallah. He wasn't angered in the first instance when he said, any of us would get angry if someone called us a thief. But he didn't react at all. Allah says they don't want any reward from Allah. They don't want any thanks or praise from people. Allah said, if I was going to backbite anyone, then I'd backbite my mother. I said, how's that? He said, if I'm going to give anyone my good deeds, it's better that I give my mother my good deeds. Obviously, he wasn't going to do this, but he was teaching people the danger of riba and what happens when one backbites. The person you backbite takes your good deeds. So Sayyidina Hassan al-Basri was told there was in a certain place there was a group of people that were backbiting him and speaking badly about him, so he went and took some fruit and gave it to them as a gift. He gave them a present. So these people have given me their good deeds, their prayer, their fasting, and the least I can give them is some fruit as a present for them. SubhanAllah. These are people that you should feel, people that backbite and so on, these are people that you should feel sympathy for. Because all they're doing is losing their good deeds, ruining their deen. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah said that he's talking about the difference between futuwa and qara'a. Futuwa means kind of generosity and chivalry and good character, and qara'a here means the deen. Said that everything that the sharia prohibits, that also good character, nobility also prohibits, also finds ugly and finds unpleasant. But the difference is that sharia is... Sharia is for the sake of Allah, whereas futuwa is for the sake of people. It's for status amongst people. So we have, just like when we talk about sabr, we have the one who's mutasabbir, who's trying to have sabr. Right, well, with zuhud, we have someone who tries to have zuhud, even he hasn't attained zuhud, hasn't attained abstinence completely. The Sahaba said that what you take is more beloved from that which you leave. They said to Rasulullah, that wealth, when you take our wealth, that which you take is more beloved than that which you leave. This is true zuhud, abstinence, when it's become, there's no desire left in the heart for that thing. So the Zahid is someone who's patient in the face of adversity and gratitude, in ease, in times of ease. When someone is zahid, he said when they have the same desire to leave dunya as someone who loves the dunya has desire to gain the dunya, that's when they're truly abstinent. They have the same keenness to leave behind the dunya as someone who loves the dunya has keenness to amass the dunya. That's when someone is truly abstinent. And truly the real meaning of zuhud is the only attend attain, you only seek the seek of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sulaiman al-Dharani, Allah upon him said, the dunya is everything which distracts you from Allah. So zuhud, abstinence, is everything which enables you to focus purely on Allah. Zuhud is what enables you to focus purely on Allah, abstinence. And he also said that the zahid, the abstinent one, is the one who leaves behind the dunya and is busy with worship and striving to ijtihad. That with the ta, he said that anything, Allah mercy when he said that anything that distracts you from Allah, whether it be your family or your wealth, then this is something which is blameworthy for you or harmful for you. Allah says that on the day which no wealth and children are of any benefit except the one who comes to Allah with a sound heart. Abu Sulaiman said the sound heart is the one who has nothing other than Allah in it. Nothing other than Allah. It only has Allah in it. He said that the people of Allah, they had zuhud in the dunya, they had non-attachment to the dunya, but because their hearts were purely focused on the akhirah. Who sees gold and silver as just being like froth on the top of the water. Allah says of the believers, إِذَا ذُكِرُ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts shake. And when the signs of Allah are recited to them, it increases them in iman, or the iman increases. So zuhud is an increase in iman, abstinence is an increase in iman. And then Allah says, وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ, they put their trust in Allah and their Lord. So zuhud has a relationship to tawakkul, to trust in Allah. Allah says, "Fattakhidhu wakeela." So take him as the one who takes care of your affairs. Wasbir ala ma yaqulun, and then have patience, patiently bear what they say. Tawakkul leads on to sabr. Tawakkul leads to sabr. Trust in Allah leads on to patience. Says that those who do not believe in the next life, they have the attributes of evil. He said these are the people who long for this life, the life of the dunya, and it's a dormant. And those who are content with it, they have in the next life is the fire. So it's transcendent is the one. Who brings the night into the day and then it. Transcendent is the one who sees what others do not see and able to do what others are not able to do. And he gave some amongst the slaves the ability to witness him. When he gave them this witnessing, they saw gold and silver for what they were really worth. Just like froth on top of the ocean, top of the sea. Thank you.